Hello, church family. I think it's awesome that we have all this technology where we can interact with one another. I think it's awesome that we can we can still connect in so many ways. And I want to encourage you. I want to start off by just trying to help you understand how we can better get connected in so many ways. And I'm going to bang this drum probably every time we talk. I'm going to try and remind you that there are ways that we can connect that we're not currently using. And so one of those ways is through ShareFaith or faithlife.com. Get connected to faithlife.com. If you haven't yet, go to faithlife.com/LFCOC. Up here, you'll see a place that says register or sign in. I encourage you to do this. There's so many resources that we can make available to you through this avenue. This tool that we have allows us to connect to our own website and keep it up to date so that when you go to the website, you can look at the events that we're involved in. You can see what's happening. So the website is now at lfcoc.net. Go check it out. Explore it. Sign up. Get involved. Don't hesitate in doing this. And I know some of you said, I just don't know how to do it. And so it's as simple as going to faithlife.com and signing in right up here. It'll have a little button that says sign in or register. I want to encourage you to do that. It's vitally important that we get connected in as many ways as possible. All of the sermons are on here. The slideshows are on here. So it's called the digital bulletin that you can look at. There's just so many ways that you can use this. We have our prayer requests here. We have a directory for our members to look at. I mean, I'm just telling you. I know some of you have been hesitant to do it. You don't like to do new things. So I'm encouraging you to do this. Take time out of your busy lives and just sit down and do this, because it'll be a resource that saves you time and it'll be a resource that helps you stay connected. So I can't reiterate this enough. faithlife.com/LFCOC. You can download an app to your phone. You can access it from your computers. You can access it from your phone. There's another thing I want you to download. It's called Zoom. So get online, find Zoom. We're going to try and do a Bible study we're going to do a Bible study. Danny and I are both going to be on. We're going to do social distancing. He's going to be in Harlingen. I'm going to be in Los Fresnos. But we're going to continue our series on the will of God. We're going to get together. We're going to invite all of you to join us. You can join us through video chat or just by making a phone call. You can sit there. I'm not sure of the time yet. I'll get back to you on that. It'll be on the calendar, and I will email you. So just let me know. I'd like to hear back from you as well. I mean, I'm sending out information. Please respond to some of that. Let me know you're involved in it. Let me know that if there's something else you would like from us, so that we can better serve you. I do want to remind you that we are looking, anybody who needs help, anybody who doesn't need to get out and go into these madhouse stores right now, there are people who are asking me how we can help, how we can serve other people. Please, please, please shoot us an email, give us a call, text us, whatever you need to do, just let us know what you need. We will make it happen for you. We don't want people putting themselves in any kind of risk that they don't need to put themselves. It's time for us to be prudent, not afraid, but prudent. And so I want to encourage you to do those things. If you need help, let us help you. And so really cool thing about what I'm doing here is you're going to get to look at what I'm doing on the screen. I'm super excited about this venue that I have. That's called Zoom. If you were connected to me right now, you could see me. I could see you. We could interact. You can talk. I can talk. If you need help setting this up, I will walk you through it on the phone. It's very easy to do, and it's a great resource. So I encourage you guys to get connected to this. It's awesome. But without further ado, I want to get into today's lesson. The title of the lesson is Be the Church. And this is not a better time for us to talk about this than a time when we're not meeting together. The Hebrew writer says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. He says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works." let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works. I kind of feel like we have to stop right here and kind of look at this and say, okay, why does he say it like that? Why does he say, let us consider how? Because he knew it wasn't always going to be perfect. We weren't always going to be able to spur one another on through love and good works by coming together and meeting weekly. We're not always going to be able to spur one another on by singing praises together. We're not always going to be able to spur one another on. I mean, there's so many different things he could be saying right now to us. And one of the things we need to understand is we can become creative in this. When he says, let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good works, I think it's imperative that we do just that. We figure out how we can spur one another on towards love and good works. He goes on to say, let us not give up meeting together. You're like, well, that's what we've done, right? We've stopped meeting together. Well, we've stopped coming to a church building to meet together, but we're the reason we're not meeting together. There's nothing from stopping us from reaching out. We're going to talk more about this in a minute, but I just want you to understand this. Paul, if he were writing today, he'd be like, guys, don't stop connecting to each other. Stay connected. There's a lot of reasons for that, but you need to stay connected to each other. It's vitally important to your spiritual well-being that you stay connected to the saints. It's vitally important. So he says, don't do that. And he says, the next part, which I really, really like, he says, as some are in the habit of doing. Do you know how easy it is to get in the habit of knots? You know, we get in the habit of not eating healthy. We get in the habit of not waking up early. We get in the habit of not going to bed early. We get in the habit of not going to Bible study on Wednesdays. We get in the habit of not attending church service on Sunday. We get in the habit of not going to Bible class. We get in the habit of not connecting with other people. It's so easy to get in the habits of knots. And so I want to encourage you, don't get in the habits of knots. It's the habits of knots will ruin what God has been doing in you. I just want you to understand there's so many things we can be doing together, and I just want us to consider how we can do it better. And then he goes on to say, but encouraging one another. And that's what we're going to talk about, how we can do that. And so today, the title of my lesson is Five Ways to be the church when we're not together. Five ways to consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good works. Five ways to learn how we can encourage one another. Five ways that we can be the church even when we're not together. And so I know that some of these you're going to be like, well, duh, but I want you to think about them in a real positive consideration of how we can do a better job. And the first one is pray. Your relationship with God during this time is so vitally important to your well-being. I just want to tell you, you need to be connected with God on a daily basis. And the first one I'm telling you is pray. The second one I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to tell you is you need to read His Word. But we need to be connected to God. But we need to do more than just pray for things and stuff. We need to be praying to God, for the glory of God. Listen to the Lord's Prayer. He says, Our Father. I mean, just think about those words. Our Father. He cares about what's going on in this world. He's your Father. He's your Father in heaven. And I don't want us to get lost in the ideas that we're just speaking words or we're just asking for stuff. You know, God doesn't want us to just approach His throne of grace for asking for stuff. Sometimes we need to approach His throne of grace to just glorify His name, which is what He says next, right? He says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Our prayer life should include glorifying God. And I think when you start doing that in your prayer life, you'll begin to realize just how unbelievable God is when you start recognizing His glory and His power and His wonder and His awe. The next thing he says is, your kingdom come. We need to be praying that the kingdom of God take reign in this world. That his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I say we need to be a people who are praying, we don't just need to be going through our prayer list of asking for this person's health or that person's health. That's all good stuff. I want you to do that. But that's not the only way you should be praying. You shouldn't be consumed with just praying about this virus that is wreaking havoc on our society. You shouldn't be just praying for the next roll of toilet paper. You should be praying for the kingdom of God to take root in this world. Because there's peace in there, there's joy in there, there's contentment, there's so many glorious and wonderful things, there's salvation. And we need to be praying for the salvation of so many. You know, we ought to be filled with the kind of angst that kind of Paul was, where he was out there, he wanted everybody to be saved. He was praying for people to understand the love of God on a new and a more powerful level. And that ought to be our prayer. And that ought to be how we pray. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we ought to pray for our stuff instead of worry about our stuff. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, this is just so simplistic, right? Just, God, you provide. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about not getting meat, there not being meat on the shelf or eggs in the fridge or milk in the fridge. I'm not going to worry about that because I know that you're going to look after me. But we need to pray about that, and we need to turn it over to him. And when we release it to him, you'll be amazed. So one of the things we need to be doing as a people in this time is we need to be praying. So I want to ask you a question. Is your prayer life just about praying a list? Or are you truly engaging the Father? Are you truly engaging him with thanksgiving and putting your petitions before him? And praying for a world that is in desperate need of not just a vaccine for this disease, but a world that is in desperate need of a God who wants to reign. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so I just want to encourage you. The first thing I shared with you here is prayer. The second one that I kind of want to point out is we need to be growing. We need to be growing our faith. Sometimes we get so comfortable in the now and where we are, you know. And I'm telling you, this is one of those times when you kind of start learning where your faith actually is. Is your faith in God, in this mighty, powerful God? Or is your faith in this reaffirmation that you get week after week in church? You're going to discover that over these next couple of weeks, right? I'm not telling, meeting together is important. We're going to talk about that more in just a minute. But I want you to understand that your faith has to be bigger and greater than the amount of strength you gain from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because this is a really good time when we come back together for us to have some giants of faith coming into a church instead of some minions of faith coming in to be fed. And so during this time, I want us to realize it's a really good time for us to grow our faith. And one of the ways you do that is you get in the Word. We need to be hearers of the Word and not doers only. This is so awesome that we have this opportunity. The Roman writer in Romans 10 verse 17 says that faith comes from hearing. Hearing the message. And the message is heard through the Word about Christ. Get in the Word and don't be hearers only, which is the next thing. I don't want you to just get in the Word. I want you to believe the Word. I want you to believe the very words that you're reading. I want you to accept it as truth, because you hearing it and doubting every aspect of it is going to wreak havoc on you. But if you'll get into the Word and you'll believe your word is true and every man a liar, it will transform your life. So you get into the Word, you believe the Word. And finally, to grow your faith, you need to do it. You need to get up and do it. You need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. James tells us that in James chapter 1, but I want you to realize in James chapter 2, he tells you how vital it is. This is what he says. In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And when I say grow your faith, I don't want you to have a dead faith. So you need to be a faith that works, that acts, that does, that responds, that yields, that persists. Your faith is a faith that steps and acts and responds. And he goes on to say, he says, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. It's possible to just have a simple belief about God. In fact, he goes on to say, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Even the demons believe that. So believing in God isn't what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about having an active faith that is transformative, not just of your life, but that is transformative of so many lives. You need to understand that what God is doing in and through you is so unbelievable if you'll just have faith. In fact, Scripture says that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Can you imagine what will happen if all of us come back just giants of faith? The next thing that we're told is to be that we need, or the next thing that we should be doing during this time is building relationships. And so I want to encourage you to build relationships. And some of you are like, I don't know how to do that on a good day. I certainly don't know how to do it in the middle of a pandemic. And so I want to encourage you, because I don't think you're thinking in terms of the way I'm thinking. You need to build relationships, and one of the ways you do that is just learn how to encourage people. People need encouragement. They're open to encouragement. They really are, and you need to encourage people. Pick up the phone. Look through your address book. Give somebody a call. I want to encourage you guys. You need to be praying. You need to be growing, but you also need to be connecting. Connecting to your brothers and sisters in Christ. It isn't the leadership's job of the church to connect to you only. It's our job to connect to one another. We're a body, the body of Christ, and we belong to one another. We should be serving one another. We should be encouraging one another. We should be strengthening one another. And so if you don't know how to do it, like just start encouraging. Hebrews 3 says something really interesting about this. He says, encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We need encouragement. And the only way to encourage people is for us to connect with one another. And another thing we need to do is we need to minister to one another. You want to really connect and build relationships? Go serve somebody. You see, the word minister doesn't mean just preach to them, although it can mean that. And you can do that. And I encourage that. Go preach the gospel to people. Do that. But more than that, minister to them. Minister to their needs. Serve one another in love. Lift one another's burdens. Like, this is a really good opportunity for us to get out and help one another. I'm going to tell you, there are people in our number who don't need to be out running around grocery stores trying to get simple basic needs, especially in today's chaos. They may need you to come serve them. And I'm telling you, we're trying to set this up where you guys can call the church and Lisa will take down your information. We'll get somebody to you, but we need people who are willing to go do this stuff. And so if you're willing, let us know. That's one thing you can do. You can be somebody who serves, but I'm going to tell you something. There's another thing that I should have put on here. You want to build relationships? Be willing to be ministered to. I'm terrible at this, right? I don't ever want somebody to go out of their way to serve me. I want to be the one serving other people. And so you need to learn to minister, and you need to learn to be ministered to. And I'm just telling you, once we start doing that, we will build relationships that will last a lifetime. Peter says this in 1 Peter 4. He says, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful steward of God's grace in its various forms. I did this earlier, and I don't know if you liked it or hated it, but I want to show you a couple of things here that he says. He says, how many of us should do it? How many of us? He says, each one of you. And then I want you to look at this. You should use. Each one of you should use. And he goes on, whatever gift. And I want to box this word gift in too, because I want you to understand that it's not something that you own. It's a gift. It's something God has given you. And he says that you have received to serve others. Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. To serve others. He could have, in fact, this word right here probably could mean minister. And I want you to look at this one. As faithful stewards. Each one of you is uniquely gifted to minister to people uniquely. Each one of you. Not everybody has the same gift, which is awesome, because that means all of us can minister to each other in different ways. And we can fill the needs completely. Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful steward of God's grace in various forms. I want to encourage you guys, don't for a second think that you can't be used by God. Don't for a second think that you can't build these relationships and that you can't minister to people and you can't edify people and you can't encourage people and you can't be ministered to. All of us need to be ministers to one another, encouraging one another and strengthening one another. The next thing I want to say is we need to shine. We need to shine bright. You know the verse, but in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this: a town or a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There's so much here. And I want to tell you that this is an opportunity in moments of trials and moments of turmoil. It is an opportunity for we as the people of God to shine bright. It's an opportunity for us to set down all of our angst and anger and worry. It's a time where people should be able to look to us as beacons of hope, pointing to our Messiah. It's a time when people need to know that there is an anchor that they can go to. There's a foundation that they can rest in. There are people who aren't looking at this as a terrible, horrible, deadly thing. We're looking at this as an opportunity to serve. And we're filled with joy still. And we're not filled with fear. We're filled with peace and not anxiety. And so we need to let our light shine bright. In fact, Philippians chapter 4, which is another one of those really good verses that I think sometimes we don't think about. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the skies as you hold firm to the words of life. The world needs to see some light shining, and you and I are those beacons to shine. And I want you to know something, like when I talk about shining bright, I do mean for you to live the life that you need to live and be who you need to be. But I also mean you need to shine bright by speaking words to people. You need to share with people the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The people who are filled with anxiety need to know the hope that is in Christ Jesus. It's in these terrible times people are looking for answers, and the answer has always been and will always be the Messiah. And so when I say shine bright, I want you to live a life that people can emulate and even want. But I also want you to speak words and tell people for the reason of the hope that is in you. It's such a glorious thing. I want to end this point with this verse. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. We all know this world needs salvation. And the crazy thing is we know the source of the salvation, and that's found in Jesus Christ. You might be surprised by the last thing you can be doing during these times. You can pray. You can grow in your faith. You can build relationships. You can shine bright like stars. But the last thing you can do in this time and should do in this time is rest. And I want to pull up a slide that talks about the kinds of rest I'm talking about. Number one is to rest from your labor. I know some of you out there have been raised, you were born, you were bred with the idea that if you're not doing something, you're not worth anything. You know, what's crazy about that is when we read Scripture, if we go back to the beginning of the Bible, we find something very interesting, that on the seventh day, the God of the heavens and the earth rested. And when he led the children out of the land of Egypt, and he gave them his laws, do you know one of his first laws was, he says, you are to keep the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And on that day, you're to do no work. And a little bit later, he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God's intent for us is that we rest from our labors. And I know there are people here who feel guilty when you wake up late in the mornings. I know that you feel guilty if on a Sunday you don't take the day and just rest. There's got to be a yard to mow, a tree to cut, a sink to fix, something you need to be doing to feel worthwhile. But I want you to understand something. Even you need rest. And I want you to find that rest from your labor. You know, during this time, find some time to just rest. Rest from all the stuff you're doing. Number two, rest from your anxiety. And your worry and your fear. Rest from that forever. In fact, Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything. But what I want you to understand is you can rest from that too. You can just simply stop and rest in the knowledge that we serve a God that is mightier than our struggle. We serve a God who is working things out. And we should rest in that truth. And so we don't have to be anxious for anything. We really don't. We can't add anything by worrying to our life. And we certainly can't prevent things by fear. And so we need to remember that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. So let's rest from that. And finally, let's rest in our salvation. Every once in a while, we just need to stop and enjoy the truth of God's salvation and knowing that we have been rescued by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So rest from your labor, rest from your anxiety and worry and fear, and rest in your salvation. Jesus says this in Matthew 11, and you know the verse, but I want to leave you with this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're feeling like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, you need to let it go. Your shoulders aren't big enough, but God's are. Come unto me, you who are weary and burdened. And if you're watching this and some of this just sounds really wild to you and you've never given your life to Christ and you don't really know what we're talking about, I just want you to understand something. The thing that you've been missing in your life, the thing that you have most struggled with in your life, the thing that you are yearning for most in your life, I like what one man says, there is a God-shaped hole in your heart that can only be filled by giving your life wholly to the God who made you. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never given your life to Christ, today's the day of your salvation. You don't have to wait another second. You don't have to know everything. You just have to know that the God who made this world sent his one and only Son. And that Son gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God. And he is mediating for you. He's an advocate for you. And when you accept those truths and you give your life to Christ, you become an heir and a co-heir with Christ Jesus. If you want to start that journey, I encourage you to give me a call. I want to be a part of that journey. If you have questions about any of this, give me a call. My phone number is 956-371-7852. And I know I'm putting this out on the internet, but I want you guys to know it. I don't want anybody for a second not to realize, or I want everybody to realize that I am here to serve you. I want more than anything else for you to understand what God can and will do in your life. Come unto me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and gentle. Listen to that. For I am easy. My burden is easy, or my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You'll see my phone number scrolling across the bottom of the screen. Don't hesitate to call it. I mean it. I'll answer. We'll talk. If I don't answer, please leave a message. I want to talk to you. I want to be able to take you on this journey. And I can point you to some people who can love on you. And so I just encourage you, don't get caught up in doing things your way. I want you to learn that during this time. So I want to end this lesson. I want to tell you that the way we do church and what we should be doing right now is praying fervently. We should be growing in our faith. We should be building relationships. We should be shining bright as stars. And we should learn how to rest. I pray that all of you find this lesson encouraging and helpful. I hope that in some way this has been so beneficial to you that you'll share it with other people so that they too can hear what they can be doing during this time. I think we're extremely, we tend to really struggle when we don't do things the way we've been doing things. And I just want you to know, we don't have to do things the way we've been doing things to do things better than the way we've been doing things. And my prayer is that when we come back together as a church physically, we will have connected so much from afar that we're going to just love on each other so much more. My prayer is that we're going to come back so full of faith and encouragement that we're going to have a bunch of giants walking in and we'll be able to move every mountain that's in our way. So grow your faith. Be a people of prayer. Build relationships with one another. Live a life of integrity and shine bright like the stars. And above all else, find some time and rest. I love you all, guys, and I pray that God will move in you in a way that you've never experienced before. And I pray that we are given the opportunity to share this with people who don't know him. And they give their life to Christ and it's forever changed. I love you all. I pray this is helpful. Good night.